Speaker is Marie Tarrant, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Nursing Studies at the University of Hong Kong. She has worked as a public health nurse for Health Canada prior to moving to Hong Kong, and her current projects focus on hospital practices and breastfeeding outcomes and health outcomes and breastfeeding. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Okay. The title of my presentation is The Impact of In-Hospital Formula Supplementation on Breastfeeding in Breastfeeding Outcomes in Hong Kong Infants. Just for some background, there are about 15,000 baby-friendly hospitals worldwide, and over 6,000 of those are in mainland China. But no hospital in Hong Kong has yet received baby-friendly designation. There are 10 public hospitals in Hong Kong who offer maternity services and about 8 private hospitals. And most of them are actually very far away from receiving baby-friendly status. One of the big barriers in Hong Kong is that all of the hospitals continue to accept free infant formula from the manufacturers. There is pressure on public hospitals to discontinue this practice, and that pressure, I'm glad to say, has substantially increased in light of the tainted milk scandal in China. Not that the tainted milk scandal was good, but it certainly has increased the pressure to promote more breastfeeding and to stop the free formula supplementation in the hospital. And the actual main focus of our study is to do a pre and post examination. There is intention in the hospitals to stop taking the free formula, so we want to do the analysis of the supplementation before the cessation of the free formula and then after. But for this analysis, we've just done the pre-assessment now of how much formula actually babies are receiving in the hospital. So our research aims were to look at the formula supplementation rates in breastfeeding infants in Hong Kong hospitals, and to examine the impact of the supplementation on the breastfeeding duration and exclusivity. And right now in Hong Kong, our breastfeeding rates are very similar actually to the United States. We have around a 70% initiation rate, but a very quick cessation and drop off. And then very few people exclusively breastfeed and breastfeed for the recommended amount of time. So we used a prospective longitudinal cohort design. We collected and recruited patients in the hospital. We collected demographic data, the maternal and infant birth data, and infant feeding data. And then we did longitudinal telephone follow-up at 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, and 12 months, or until they weaned. So if they had weaned at 1 month, then we stopped following them up. And we did infant feeding follow-up data and a final weaning survey. So we had some selection criteria. We looked at only singleton pregnancies, Cantonese speaking, which is the local dialect that people speak in Hong Kong. They had to be Hong Kong residents for more than a year, and the mothers had to have no serious medical or obstetrical complications. And for the infants, we basically just wanted full-term healthy infants, so they had to be at least 37 weeks gestational age, an Apgar of 8, a birth weight of more than 2,500 grams, and with no severe medical or congenital anomalies. And we also excluded them if they went to the special care nursery for more than 48 hours after birth, or if they were even admitted to the neonatal care unit, because we know those are increasingly associated with more formula feeding. So we used 4 study sites in Hong Kong, 4 of the large public hospitals. We recruited over 1,400 subjects from the 4 sites, generally evenly distributed among the 4 sites. We did exclude 8 participants after recruitment because the babies were transferred to the neonatal unit. We lost 88 participants to follow-up, so we had an overall we had over 90% completion rate, which was fairly good. So we had 1,321 in the final analysis. And I just want to say this is still a preliminary analysis. We just finished our last follow-up data in June and July, so we're still, this is one of the first looks at the data. So our, you can see our gestational, maternal age is very similar to most Western countries. Participants in the sample were a little bit more highly educated than the Hong Kong population, but we see that in most breastfeeding samples. The income here in Hong Kong dollars, 15,000 Hong Kong dollars is about 2,000 US dollars a month. So you have making less than 2,000 US dollars, and then compared to people making 4,000 and above. And most of them were long-term residents. And you can see from the bottom, over 70% of them were returning to work full-time in the postpartum, which in Hong Kong is about 8 weeks. They get about 8 weeks maternity leave. Our cesarean rate was just over 20%, not too bad, which is, that's the standard rate in public hospitals in Hong Kong. Most people were primips. Few of them had some previous of the multips, a lot of them had previous breastfeeding experience. We also measured husbands' feeding preference because the family in Hong Kong is a very important influence, and about 60% of husbands preferred breastfeeding, and about just over half or just less than half of the mothers had been breastfed themselves. So the first thing we looked at was how much breast milk they received in the hospital. We found that in the first 24 hours, only just less than 30% were actually exclusively breastfed. And about 12% received absolutely no breast milk at all. And these are all breastfeeding babies. There were no formula feeding babies included. And most of them were partially breastfed. By the second 24 hours, or in the first 48 hours in general, which is the average hospital stay for uncomplicated deliveries, only about 2% of them did not receive any breast milk, but the rate of exclusive breastfeeding dropped to about 15%. So overall, very low rates of exclusive breastfeeding in the first during hospitalization. We looked at the number of supplements that were given. The mean was about 2.7. The median was 2. The mean proportion of breastfeeding in the hospital was 64.4%, so about two-thirds breast milk and about one-third formula. And the interesting thing was the time to first supplementation, the median time was 3 hours. So about half of these babies had actually been supplemented in the first 3 hours after birth, which would indicate that very few of them were medically indicated. Some of the reasons, mostly mothers' requests, but we must remember that the nurses were recording these. These were just taken from the chart, so how representative they are, we're not sure. Most of them were mothers' requests or maternal cesarean. It's very common, even if the mother's breastfeeding and has a cesarean, to give formula in the first 24 hours to let the mother recover from the cesarean. Most of them were about half given by bottle and half given by cup, but these actually broke down according to study sites. We have two study sites that exclusively use bottle and two study sites that exclusively use cup to give the formula. Now, this is the overall duration of breastfeeding in our sample. Median duration was about 8 weeks. And this is the overall duration of exclusive breastfeeding, and the median duration was only about 2 weeks for exclusive breastfeeding. We did some univariate analysis. We can see that maternal age, the mother's own breastfeeding status, previous breastfeeding experience were positively associated with breastfeeding. And returning to work, of course, was negatively associated with breastfeeding or was associated with early cessation. We looked at education and income, and they both had a U-shape. We found good breastfeeding in very low income and very high income, and it was sort of the middle income and middle education people that had lower rates. And I just have this is the, we found between working, if they were going back to work, you can see that the breastfeeding duration was much shorter than if they didn't have to go back to work. And then this is the relationship between education and breastfeeding duration. So you can see the very low educated primary education only, and then much higher education had longer duration of breastfeeding. And the similar pattern for income, low income and high income, and it was the middle income people who had the lowest duration. And then we looked at the in-hospital breastfeeding, in-hospital formula feeding. We found that we looked at all different levels of formula supplementation, and we found no difference among the different amounts of formula that they received. The biggest difference was whether or not they were exclusively breastfed or whether or not they were given any formula. So we can see that the risk for exclusive breastfeeding is much lower, and partial and no breastfeeding are very similar. And so then we just looked at exclusive breastfeeding during the entire hospital stay. Whether or not they attended a breastfeeding class antenatally was not significant. When we looked at delivery method, we found that only having an emergency cesarean had a negative impact. A planned cesarean or a vaginal delivery were equally the same. And then the husband's breastfeeding status, we found that if there was a preference for breastfeeding, that increased the duration, and if there was a preference for formula or mixed feeding, that decreased the duration. And we also found that residents in Hong Kong, if they were having a short period of time, if they had only been in Hong Kong less than 5 years, that was associated with increased breastfeeding duration. And this is just looking at the formula supplementation, so you can see there's not much difference between no breastfeeding or partial breastfeeding, but a big difference between those who are exclusively breastfed. So then we just looked at exclusive breastfeeding, which is what you see right here. Just quickly, the multivariate analysis, in the end, it was the mother's own breastfeeding status, any previous experience, and returning to work. And we found that lower education in the end had no effect, but having a higher education had a positive effect on breastfeeding. And income in the end was not significant. Again, exclusive breastfeeding during the hospital stay had about a 40% reduction in early cessation, so giving them exclusive breastfeeding was very important. And again, the residents in Hong Kong, and whether the husband preferred, if the husband preferred formula or mixed feeding, that had a very negative effect. And I'll just, the reasons for weaning, primary reasons, not enough milk, and returning to work, which is what we commonly see in many people. So in Hong Kong, the formula supplementation is unacceptably high, and it significantly increases the risk of early weaning. Most supplements are not medically indicated, as they're given very, very early, and these are all normal, healthy, full-term infants. And most of them are given by a bottle, which is contraindicated for the baby-friendly hospital practices. Just over one-third of babies get any breast milk beyond 3 months of age. And I must say, these are one-third of any breastfeeding babies, because about a third or about 30% don't even get breastfed in Hong Kong. The father's opinion is very important, and of course, returning to work early increases the risk of early weaning. But in Hong Kong, unfortunately, there's not many options for women who return to work and want to continue breastfeeding. Of course, there should be some improvement in hospital practices to stop the free formula, to reduce the supplementation, and also to improve in-hospital support and support after discharge, and also including the fathers in postnatal support and looking at how women can return to work and continue to breastfeed. And just some acknowledgments. This was funded by the government of Hong Kong. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, we have no time for questions for that one.